So she too is seeking that impetus or that strong enough reason that will, with her project, get folk to get busy, to care enough about what is being done to children, and in mind to organize that one day global general strike. What are the steps that get us to that necessary strategy to achieve our necessary future? Continuing, she with the chapter or the section, unintentional cruelty hurts too. Continuing with Alice, when we examine the child-rearing literature of the past 200 years, we discover the methods that have systematically, and my comment, systematically is the operative word, as the past 200 years, and that was from when she was writing, is precisely the time of the birth, the coming into full malevolence, and hopefully we see the clear signs of the demise of Plato's tribe. Continuing, we discover the methods that have systematically been used to make it impossible for children to realize and later to remember the way they were actually treated by their parents. Why are the old methods of child rearing still so widely employed today? This is a mystery I've tried to understand and explain from the perspective of the compulsive repetition of the exercise of power, and my comment, which alone is insufficient to explain the mystery. Rather, the explanation lies in the conscious intention of hidden power, the power guys, the global state statesmen who systematically reproduce it as critical to the realization of their objectives, and who systematically aggregate means to accomplish them. And on this tip, I've posted a song, Economic Hardship Rolls in Fascism, to the blog and the audio files pages to express this class age old strategy of putting us in that survival choke to hold our attention, enforce our obedience. But nonetheless, we can see that she could not be more correct. We have been witnessing and are enmeshed in for millennia the compulsive repetition of their exercise of power. And as to breaking that cycle, it falls on us, we who see their dilemma and how they made it ours, to step up and be the emphatic partner that takes the lead on realizing our inherent freedom. And that's our. Every human being, every living thing. Continuing. Contrary to popular opinion, the injustice, humiliation, mistreatment, and coercion a person has experienced are not without consequences. The tragedy is that the effects of mistreatment are transmitted to new and innocent victims, even though the victims themselves do not remember the mistreatment on a conscious level. How can this vicious circle be broken? Religion says we must forgive the injustice we suffered. Only then will we be free to love and be purged of hatred. This is correct as far as it goes. But how do we find the path to true forgiveness? And it seems to me, this is my comment, that this question doesn't really flow from her analysis. I'm not sure about that, but which is otherwise based on a critically important slice of the historical record. But in those missing slices, integrated into her analysis, the result being the pie, lies the solution to the problem of Plato's tribe, because the issue is not forgiveness, but freedom. In our January 17, 2016 show, we said that our experience of class is itself a trauma that needs to be experienced consciously and integrated into our personalities such that we can become fully developing individualities as opposed to manifestations of power's priorities. Forgiveness is beside the point once we are in possession of the right story. The point is freedom from coercion of all kinds. and organizing to achieve it on behalf of all humanity. Although, since I wrote that, I'm not so sure. I'm sitting here as I was writing, looking at Afghan soldiers being set up, about to be sent off to slaughter. I'm looking at Syria, its rich ancient society, its people, so kind and generous, being heartlessly destroyed, or that's the attempt. Displaced families forced into tents. And it's coming up, I just want to mention that it really bugged me in an article I read about this displacement of Syrian, in this instance, families, and the fact that they were so, what's the right word? Not cheerful exactly, but looking at the sunny side, the bright side, they were emphasizing that the children were almost over it, it sounded like, right? That children are resilient. I'm tired of that word. And because this was just following reporting that the amount of depression in among the women, the mothers, over the loss they'd experienced, but the children were already happy, not happy, but already positive, saying they love Turkish food. And so we're already being encouraged to just move on, let's get over this, it's fait accompli, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, this is just what is happening around the world is so enormously cruel and heartless, and the scale of the wrong is we can't fully take in. And but it's not necessary to fully take it in to start creating the alternative, is my point. We're seeing violence and disease systematically sown across the globe, police states, hidden schemes and tyranny, the fare for good-hearted people everywhere. And here in the U.S., the reward for a lifetime of selfless labor, premature death from high-tech Auschwitz. But of this, at least, I'm convinced. We can't stop to ponder it, this question of forgiveness, until we have our freedom. And in this comment, I am, of course, talking about those 10,000 guys, not we duped, unconscious functionaries, and the parents that took us by the hand and led us into slavery. Some simply because they had no alternative. It's essential we now provide that alternative, provide and be that alternative, global society.